The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell, and it's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. A lot of basketball to talk about tonight for the obvious reasons. I'm going to talk about Purdue, talk a little more about Indiana State. I'm going to squeeze some baseball in and some high school basketball. Right now, though, it's time to catch you up on what's happening. The star of our show is here. He's back as Network Indiana's Brad Huber.
And good evening, Coach. Hello, everybody. Good to be with you on this Eclipse weekend. The top story, the Purdue Boilermakers getting set for the national semifinal in their first Final Four appearance in 44 years. Let's hear from head coach Matt Painter on staying focused on the national championship, the ultimate goal, and playing a North Carolina State team that's won 9 straight elimination games, going back to 5 in the ACC tournament and 4 in the NCAA tournament. Here is Matt Painter.
Just keeping a focus, but really just talking through it more than anything, just like, you know, kind of owning the emotional piece of it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then just being process-based and get back to, you know, what we do and kind of talk about NC State, be familiar with NC State, understand how good they are. My message to them about NC State was we're playing an undefeated team. You know, the team that was 17-14 doesn't exist anymore. The team that's 9-0 does. That's the team we're playing. If we played them 6 weeks ago, then we would be playing that team. But if you go back and look when they lost 6 out of 8 or 7 out of 9, it was coming off of them starting their conference season and being 5-1. So it wasn't like they were struggling before. They just had that tough stretch right, you know, in the middle of their season going towards the end, and then obviously winning those 9 straight games. So when you start to talk about like who they beat in those 9 games, it's pretty impressive. You know, when you talk about, you know, the Dukes, North Carolina, Virginia, you know, and our guys, we've played all those teams in the last couple of years. And so they understand that. And then you look at, you know, who they beat, you know, in the actual NCAA tournament. It speaks for itself. You know, they're one of the best teams in the country, and they can beat anybody in the country, including us.
That game will tip at 6:09 Eastern Time on Saturday on TBS. The winner of that game will get the Connecticut Huskies, looking to go back-to-back national champions, or the Alabama Crimson Tide. That will be at 8:47 on Saturday. The women's national semifinals taking place here this evening. South Carolina had no issues with North Carolina State on the women's front, 78-59. Game two, the UConn Huskies leading the Iowa Hawkeyes, 25-16. Of course, Caitlin Clark perhaps could be a future member of the Indiana Fever when the draft comes here in a week and a half from now. But UConn, 25-16, 6:47 to go in the first half of play. Nobody in double figures on either team yet, as it's Arnold for UConn and Stolke for Iowa, both with 8. Clark held the 2, and Bukers held the 2, the star players for Iowa and UConn. The Indiana Pacers with a really impressive victory tonight at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. The Pacers beating the Oklahoma City Thunder, 126-112. Oklahoma City Thunder was a little bit undermanned without their star point guard, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Tyrese Haliburton set the all-time mark for assists in the season for the Indiana Pacers at 714. That surpassed a mark that Mark Jackson set back in 1998. Minor League Baseball ongoing here this evening. The Indianapolis Indians beat the Memphis Redbirds 8-3. The Indians led 8-0 before Memphis scored 3 in the ninth to avoid a shutout. The Great Lakes Loons defeated the Fort Wayne Tin Caps on opening night for single-A baseball, as the Great Lakes had a walk-off single to win 11 3-2 in 11 innings. The South Bend Cubs shutting out the Quad City River Bandits right now 3-0. Both South Bend Cubs and Fort Wayne Tin Caps playing on the road. In AIA baseball, Taylor swept Bethel today 9-3 and 6-0 in the doubleheader. Goshen and Huntington split a doubleheader 6-5 for Goshen, Huntington 9-4. Spring Arbor swept Grace 16-5 and 14-3. IU Kokomo defeated Brescia in Kentucky 4-3. IU South Bend, Trinity College split a doubleheader 3-2 for South Bend, 7-4 for Trinity. IU Southeast, no issues with Oakland City 11-4. Indiana Wesleyan swept Mount Vernon Nazarene and Midway beat IUPUC 7-4. More scores coming up in 15 minutes for Network Indiana Sports. I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Just ahead of Alan Karpik from goldenblack.com. We're going to talk some Indians baseball. Indianapolis Indians 8-3 winners over Memphis. The legendary Hall of Fame voice of the Indians, Howard Kellman, joins me. Good night for the Indians tonight, Howard.
Oh, Bob, you're absolutely right. It was a terrific night for the Indians. Paul Skeen started. This was his second start. He again pitched three innings. He again threw three scoreless innings. He allowed one hit and walked a batter, struck out five, struck out six. Absolutely sensational, Bob. Absolutely dominant. And as you and I talked about, you just don't know how long he will be here. But he was absolutely terrific. And Eric Flower came in relief of him, and Eric threw four scoreless innings.
Hard to beat good starting pitching and good relief pitching. And the guys also moving the sticks like they did scoring eight runs. That's hard. That's when you know you're playing well.
Oh, you're exactly right. And they got three runs in the first inning. Jake Lamb belted a three-run homer in what was the big hit in the game. And they just coasted and added on. And for eight innings, Memphis had no runs, three hits. Memphis got three runs in the ninth inning when the game essentially was over.
All right, so same teams tomorrow. Who's on the hill?
Quinn Priester will pitch the first game, Bob. We have a doubleheader. We will make up the postponement from Wednesday. So a doubleheader tomorrow beginning at 5:05, then a day game Sunday at 1:35. To wrap up the homestand, Quinn Priester, the Indians' probable game one, undecided about game two, and Priester is off to a good start, and he's a definite prospect.
Howard Kelman's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. He's the best at what he does. Howard, thanks so much for the call. Good luck to the Indians tomorrow.
Bob, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you. Purdue taking on North Carolina State tomorrow in the semifinals of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship from Phoenix. Alan Karpik from goldenblack.com. Alan, thank you so much for taking time to join me. And Saturday can't get here fast enough, can it?
No, it can't, Howard. Howard, I just heard Howard Kellman, and I had that on my brain. But, Coach, you know, it can't. And even in the sunshine of Phoenix, though it wasn't sunny here today, it is, I think there's so much anticipation for this. But you know this in coaching, that anybody that has this opportunity, any coach in that painter that's had to labor like he has and had the highs and the lows, and you see it come to fruition. You're ready. I think Purdue's ready for tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Eastern time or 6:09 Eastern time. But they're going to play a team that's very hot. But I like Purdue's moxie and the fact that they're very focused on the task ahead, and we'll see what happens.
Well, having an experienced group in large respects is one of the reasons they're there. But secondly, here's the balance I'm sure you're trying to strike if you're Matt. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for everybody. And Matt, better than anyone, understands how hard it is to do. And so you may never get this opportunity again as coaches and players, and you want them to enjoy the experience, but you want to win. And the task at hand is to win another game and play for a championship, but also mindful that this is such a fantastic opportunity for these kids.
Yeah, I mean, watching the press conferences today and hearing Zach Edey and Fletcher Lawyer talk that way, and, of course, Zach Edey got another two pieces of ho-hum hardware, like, ho-hum, he's the National Player of the Year again. unbelievable. And no one – and, you know, it's funny, you want to – and I think you're saying that, Coach, and you're right, you don't want to take any of this for granted. And I don't think Purdue's doing it. We've talked about – well, Fletcher Lawyer talked about it being a business trip, but it's that fine line of, you know, you're at a shoot-around today in front of, I don't know, 10 to 15,000 Purdue fans, it seemed like, or a lot of them. So that's humbling and fun all at the same time. But you also know that you got to deal with DJ Burns in about 24 hours. So that's the interesting thing about this is it's such an event like no other in college sports, for really, certainly in college basketball. And you have that fine line of enjoying most. But I have a sense that they are. I know they had pulled a couple pranks and a couple of the walk-ons today as the team ran out. They're loose, and I expect a good performance out of Purdue tomorrow night.
All right, Alan, I need you to hang in through this scoreboard update, if you can do that, okay?
I certainly can.
All right, Alan Karpik and I will come back, talk about Purdue basketball. I can't imagine why you don't go to goldenblack.com. There must be something wrong with you if you're not there. You want to get smarter about Purdue, make sure you go there. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
The big story is basketball tonight, but we'll talk about some baseball here in this update. The Indianapolis Indians defeated the Memphis Redbirds 8-3. Just heard from Coward Kelman. Memphis scored three in the bottom, in the top of the ninth to avoid being shut out. The Great Lakes Loons took 11 innings, but on opening night, they beat the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 3-2 on a walk-off single. Opening night for the South Bend Cubs, they are looking to finish a shutout of the Quad Cities River Bandits, 3-0 South Bend. That is in the top of the ninth. Division I baseball today, the Ball State Cardinals beat Miami of Ohio 3-2. Butler Bulldogs beat Creighton 5-1. Evansville winners over Belmont 3-2. Indiana, the Hoosiers, no issues with Maryland 15-4. The Indiana State Sycamores fell on a walk-off home run in the 12th inning by Murray State, 5-4, and number 2 Clemson went in the South Bend and beat the Fighting Irish 7-3. The Purdue Boilermakers also took extra innings. They scored two in the top of the 10th to beat Rutgers 5-3. Purdue-Fort Wayne was postponed today. They were supposed to play Northern Kentucky. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. Southern Indiana just defeated Lindenwood 9-4, and Illinois State no issues with Valpo today 11-1. University of Indianapolis Greyhounds swept Illinois Springfield 4-3 and 4-2 in the doubleheader today. Purdue-Northwest beat Davenport 5-3. Earlham defeated Manchester 3-1 in an in-state battle, and Albion beat Trine 4-2. Taylor swept Bethel in the doubleheader today 9-3, 6-0. Goshen and Huntington in-state, they split a doubleheader today, and Spring Arbor all over Gray 16-5 and 14-3. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Alan Karpik from goldenblack.com rejoins us in Phoenix, getting ready for Purdue's matchup tomorrow in the semifinals with North Carolina State. Alan, you've seen them. You've been with them. You're around them all the time. You were talking about how loose they are. You know, in some respects, you know, this is the pressure's off. You're playing in the semifinals. You know, getting to this point, it's well chronicled by you and a lot of other sources. We all understand the story. This is the first time they've done this in quite a while, and so in some respects, you could say, I'm not necessarily sure you'd say playing with house money, but the pressure's off. They can just relax and go play some basketball.
Yeah, I think so. I think that for Purdue, that's a little bit of the notion. I think that does bring into a little bit that, you know, they could go into the game tomorrow night, and what this matters, I don't know. But you're an 8.5-point favorite over a team, North Carolina State, who has won nine games in a row. and done it in, Jim Valvano style, like the Wolfpack did in 1983. So, you know, it's an interesting study. I think that we play, you know, the anxiety and all the things that fans go through going into this game.
Right.
There's a difference in what the players do. They got to put their uniform on and go shoot the basketball and make baskets, make shots. In a dome stadium, which will be a new experience for both teams tomorrow, and I think that's a part of the storyline. But I think, I think Purdue is businesslike. They want to win the national championship. They've kind of said that all along, and there may not be a lot of people that can believe that they can beat UConn, but they can't get to UConn unless they beat North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. And they can't get to UConn unless they play, obviously, a great game at both ends. I'm intrigued, like everyone, about the matchup in the post. Zach Edey going up against a formidable opponent coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the great storylines. It has to be for Purdue fans, just the fact that all the attention – it's just such a whole nother level of attention when you get to the Final Four, and you know that, just in terms of everybody evaluating, every national radio, national television, folks that are covering, that don't cover Purdue all the time, but they come in and cover Final Fours, they're talking about Zach Edey versus DJ Burns and what will happen. That's why we love sports, though, you know, we can contemplate that all night. We put the head on the pillow tonight. We contemplate, how's that going to go tomorrow? And I like Zach Edey in that matchup, but I haven't seen DJ Burns play all the time. He's been fantastic for the Wolfpack, a big reason why they are, but we'll see what that happens.
Right.
And I'm not 100% sure they're going to guard each other anyway. We'll see. They're going to see each other down in the post. You can bet that.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see what Matt Painter does in a match from a matchup standpoint come Saturday night.
Well, I think the other part of it, too, is that Purdue is always, I think in large part, their success, everyone knows what Zach does, but I think it's always those guys, those complimentary guys, those perimeter guys who get opportunities because of Zach. As I don't mean to simplify it any more than what it is. Basketball is a relatively simple sport. You make shots, you win games. And so, again, those guys have to shoot the ball. I mean, Zach has to be Zach, but the rest of the group has to knock down shots.
Yeah, you and I have had about 10 minutes on this interview and haven't even talked about the guy that's really made the difference this year, and that's Braden Smith. He played at an All-American level. I know he didn't make only honorable mention All-American. He did make first team All-Big Ten. He has been the difference. Yes, I think Matt Painter talked about this a couple times. They press conference you to death at the Final Four. It's a good problem to have, but he was asked about why the Tennessee win last Sunday evening, Easter Sunday evening against afternoon against the Volunteers. Why was that extra special? And it was the fact that Purdue didn't shoot the ball well, and they found a way to win.
No, they didn't.
And I think that's an interesting storyline about – we always talk about teams, if they make their way to the Final Four or make their way to the national championship, you usually have one game where you didn't really have it, at least offensively. And even though Tennessee is a terrific basketball team, Purdue had enough to get the job done, but they did it by being as efficient as they could be when they weren't making outside shots. So they did make the big one by Lance Jones in the last 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, and I think you you don't want to put yourself in that situation again. you're tempting the hands of fate if you do it again.
And statistically, Purdue's been, first or second in the country in shooting the three.
Right.
And the fundamental difference between this year's team and last year's team. And they've been able to, throughout the NCAA tournament, keep their turnovers, especially against one of the most aggressive defenses, the most aggressive defense I think Purdue has faced this year. They faced twice in Tennessee, and they were able to keep the turnovers. You know, I think they had, 10 last weekend. That's another thing today, on Saturday night. Get shots to the rim. Purdue needs to do that. Zach Edey, when you get shots to the rim, there's a good chance Zach Edey's going to get a rebound and put the ball in the back basket. You just need to get shots. Don't turn the ball over. I think that Purdue's been pretty good at that. They stay with that. They have a really good chance at advancing to the championship game.
What has impressed me most is just how consistent they've been from day one until now.
Yeah.
You know, they go out there, workmanlike approach, which is Matt's approach to it, obviously. But they've got a group of guys who understand what they need to do, how they need to play. They follow the plan, and they follow it night after night, possession after possession.
Yeah, I could say really even in their most one-sided loss this year to Nebraska, a game a long time ago where the Cornhuskers were hot. Tominaga had a huge game. But they still played extremely hard, didn't take any possessions off. That
right,
the personification
right.
of that. He just doesn't ever do that. And he just goes hard all the time. And Braden Smith goes hard all the time. They all do. And I think – that is exactly, you know that in coaching far more than I, when you got a lineup and a team that does that, you're really going to be, and you have talent and skill, and Purdue has that, you're going to be really hard to beat.
Well, I think you're right. And I think the other part of it is that, you know, they're put together well. Everybody understands what they can and cannot do. I just hope they defend at the level they're capable. Mm-hmm. I think we haven't talked enough about it. I think Matt will tell you that they're capable of being better defensively, and tomorrow night would be a perfect night to do that.
Yeah, I think you want to, if you're certainly playing North Carolina State, who has who tends to be long, they are also old. They're experienced. They're guys that have played, you know, 4 and 5 years. So they're coming at
right.
it with that. They're not going to be spooked by this opportunity either. And I think that's right. I think Purdue has played well enough defensively. They certainly did at times against Tennessee.
Sure.
Enough to get the job done. But they're not a great defensive team. But I think it's still that toughness quotient, the ability to rebound, and ultimately defend well enough that you can turn it into a little bit of offense and turn it into some open threes. And if you convert those, I think you're going to have your way with the Wolfpack, or at least have your chance to. Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's going to be. Nothing's going to be easy, but I do think it gives you a chance to have a win.
GoldenBlack.com's Alan Carping. He's great at what he does. If you don't already visit their site, there's something wrong with you. You need to go there. Be smarter about Purdue. Alan, thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy. I know a lot's going on. Let's wish the Boilers luck. And hopefully we'll be spending some time talking about championships. Alan, thank you. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the call.
All right, always a privilege, my friend. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you. Alan Karpik, GoldenBlack.com. Boilers tomorrow night against North Carolina State, 6 o'clock or so, somewhere in there. And we'll talk more about that game. We'll also talk a little bit. Corbin coming up going to talk about the women's Final Four, what's going on with that one. So much more basketball to come on Indiana Sports Talk.
The big story, the Purdue Boilermakers playing in the national semifinals tomorrow night, 6:09 p.m. on TBS out in Glendale, Arizona, in the first of two national semifinals. We'll hear from Matt Painter again talking about his star player, Zach Edey, coming up at the top of the hour. The winner of that game will play UConn or Alabama for the national championship on Monday. College women's Final Four, South Carolina, the number one team in the country, remains undefeated, beating North Carolina State 78-59. And at the half in national semifinal number two, the Connecticut Huskies leading the Iowa Hawkeyes 32-26. The star players on each team, Paige Buchers, has 7 points for UConn and Caitlin Clark, 6 for Iowa. Of course, Caitlin Clark, the rumor mill is that she'll be drafted number one overall by the Indiana Fever coming up in a week and a half. The Indiana Pacers with a big win tonight over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Granted, no Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Thunder tonight. Tyrese Haliburton surpassed Mark Jackson for the franchise record for assists in the season, 714 he got tonight. Mark Jackson set that mark back in 1998. That sets up a huge game Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, the Pacers and the Heat. The winner of that game will have the inside track for the number 6 seed in the NBA playoffs, which is the last locked-in playoff spot before you head to the play-in tournament. So again, 5 o'clock, the Pacers and the Heat, as the Pacers lead the Heat by half a game, and that will also be for a tiebreaker. The Indians win 8-3. South Bend Cubs just defeated Quad Cities 3-1, and Great Lakes Loons beat Fort Wayne Tin Caps 3-2 in minor league baseball. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Lots and lots going on. We're glad you're with us. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night. We're going to talk more about Purdue. We'll figure out, you know, by the time you join us tomorrow night, they will have played and we hope won their matchup. Matt Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts will join us. We'll talk some college football, talking about Notre Dame. Lynn Clark will be with us. We'll talk some Pacers. So join us tomorrow night. Just a reminder, for 30 years we've been on the air. In all 30 of those years, we've always been on Friday and Saturday night. And I say this occasionally. If I had a dollar for every time someone asked me, hey, or said, hey, I didn't know you were on Saturday night, I could have retired by now. And so you were on Saturdays. So that's our game plan. So join us. Corbin Lingenfelter, are you with us tonight? Oh, Corbin, stay there. Brad Huber. What's going on with Iowa and Caitlin Clark in the women's finals?
Well, they've held Caitlin Clark to only 6 points in the first half, and UConn had a 10-point lead at one time, 28-18. Right. Iowa's cut into that a little bit now, 32-26 in favor of UConn at the half. Again, Caitlin Clark only 6 points, so UConn doing a great job of defending her, at least in the first half of this semifinal.
That's why there are two halves. Don't forget that, right? All right, Indiana State last night drops a heartbreaker to Seton Hall in the finals of the NIT with me. The legend himself from our flagship stations in Indianapolis, The Fan. He's the host of the insanely popular Ride with JMV, the one and only JMV. John, thanks for the call. And it was that was a tough one, to say the least. That was a tough one last night for you and your Indiana State brethren.
Yeah, it's going to get even tougher, too, because, you know, with all we talked earlier today on my show in Indy, and it's going to get worse. I mean, you know, Josh Church obviously is going to leave, and that probably means five of the players will leave with him. You don't have an AD, an interim AD, and Angie Lansing, Bob, and I like a great deal, and you have an outgoing president. That's all problematic right there. To me, I say you just hire Matt Graves and roll with it. I don't know if they end up doing that or not, but I would, because right. Bob, what this has done is in this era of stupidity in which we're in right now, of what goes down and how the landscape is, this puts them behind. They lose everything, puts them behind. And, trying to hire a coach, you're trying to get players in. So it is, and that's going to set you back a couple of years right there. But as far as the game was last night, it was fun. And I thank those guys. I had such a great year of watching them play. I have so much pride and my alma mater, Bob, in Indiana State. And I love watching them play this year. I love good offense. So the offensive ball movement, the passing, the cutting, and all that was just so good. And especially as they advance later in the season. And I'm going to tell you what, it takes a lot when you're snubbed by the NCAA committee.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you're going to amp this back up 3 days later and play SMU at home. They were kind of sleepwalking through that first half, but then the second half got going, and it was just a beautiful brand of basketball that we were all so proud
right.
of. And regardless of the losing last night, I had as much fun and got emotionally invested into this, because normally if you're a sports talk show host, you got to stay fair and balanced. I got emotionally invested. It felt so good.
Right.
And I had to thank those guys, because it was as an enjoyable of a season that I've had, you know, watching basketball, certainly with my alma mater, in a long time.
And the irony of it, John, is that such an offensively gifted team can't buy a basket in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, and part of the problem is, as gifted they are offensively, they're not defensively, which I don't
yeah.
know if that's always the
yeah.
case. But, yeah, normally their good defense is a good offense. And, yeah, that went away. Like, people were asking me today, hey, the shot selection, it was bad. And I said, hold on a minute. The shot selection is what they do all the time. They were just getting comfortable with a look that they felt they could hit. And that's not – throwing it down into the low post or driving
right,
it down
right.
into the low post, it was taking open threes. That wasn't the issue. It was clock management that was the issue. I mean, there was one Robbie Avila bad three with about 21 seconds
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
remaining in the shot clock. And this one also stuck out to me. Julian Larry had a wing three, and Jason Kent, Bob, got the weak side rebound. And instead of kicking it back out and running more clock and seeing what else you can do, he immediately went back up. And I don't know, that's instinctual. That is, for a guy down
right.
low, it's instinctual
right.
to go back up with it. But he'd be better served to kick that back out and run a little bit of clock. So the clock management is what I took issue with, not the shot selection late.
You know what? It was a season, as you point out, and everybody understands, it was a tremendous season. And not the season, if you look at the preseason prognosticators and even, you know, your own situation, did you expect them to have this kind of run at the end?
I didn't. I thought that, you know, they would challenge in the tournament, the Mo Valley tournament, and they did. And I thought that maybe this team would run out of steam because of the snubbing and because of that disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I was
mm-hmm.
so impressed, Bob, that they did. They just got better as that thing went along. They got better after SMU to Minnesota to Cincinnati and then against Utah the other night. I was so impressed. I've always been so impressed with Josh Schertz. He's a great coach. I hate the fact that a lot of Indiana State people are kind of turning on him right now because he's going to end up going to St. Louis. And, you know, I don't know what to tell him. He's going to get paid more money. The NIL money, they have deeper pockets over there for that. So, I mean, as much as I hate it and it stinks, it's just to where we are. And I will not tear him down for doing that. But he's been such a breath of fresh air, as has that.
Right.
And those guys are awesome dudes. And you just wish, in a perfect world, Bob, he comes back, all five of those guys come back, and they try to right a wrong into the NCAA tournament. But that's obviously a fairy tale, and a fairy tale is not what we're going to witness with this.
You brought it up, but the complicating factor is not having a president. Yeah, excuse me, not having a president or an athletic director.
Yeah.
So I will tell you, as a former coach, I'm not going anywhere that doesn't have the AD that hires me because,
exactly.
you know, somebody, some AD hires me, bring in a new AD who didn't hire me, has no loyalty to me. You're going to have a difficult time convincing some quality people to get excited about that job.
Well, and a couple of things, too. The president's got one foot out the door already and is a constant pain, which that is good, but – you know, in this situation, it isn't. And, yeah, I would agree with you on that, too. That's why I thought, you know, you settle in with Matt because he's there. Maybe he can talk somebody like Isaiah Swope to return. Maybe, you know, one or two to return. Again, that's probably more of a pipe dream. But you're right. I mean, ultimately, if they don't give Angie Lansing the bump and the gig for real, then, you know, somebody else is going to come in and want, you know, somebody to be – you know, their next head coach. So it's going to be an absolute mess, and it's so sad because this has been such a bright, shining light of a season, and you know this as well as I do, this is going to go all down the drain rather quickly here.
Yeah, it's sad because you have a great season, one of the best seasons you've had, obviously, in a long, long time. And your reward for that is to lose your coach and lose your team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And we're talking about, it's funny, one of the major sticking points in Terre Haute, Bob, has been why there has been such a splintered relationship between the town, Terre Haute, and the university, Indiana State. And the new mayor there has done a great job in trying to merge the two and bring them back together. It all kind of surrounded, you know, the Holman Center and all that they redid. But they were all coming together, and all the sides were just, you know, reveling in the fact that this has been a great season and so enjoyable. And, you know, you kind of go back. You wonder if this is going to go back to square one all the way around.
Right.
Because you're going to have a lot of hurt feelings out of this. You really are.
John, I need you to hang on through a scoreboard update. Can you do that?
You got it, buddy. Anything for you.
Perfect. We'll come back with JMV, talk more Indiana State on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
The women's Final Four ongoing right now. The national semifinal game number two. The UConn Huskies leading the Iowa Hawkeyes 41-37. 4:41 to go in the third quarter. Caitlin Clark has 9 points on the night. 4 of 13 shooting. 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. Paige Beckers of UConn 6 of 14 shooting. 2 of 5 from beyond the arc for 14 points. Again, UConn leading Iowa 41-37. The winner will get undefeated South Carolina, who beat North Carolina State 78-59. That will be on Sunday afternoon. The big story, the Purdue Boilermakers will play the North Carolina State Wolfpack 6:07 on the men's national semifinal tomorrow on TBS. Connecticut and Alabama in game number two at 8:47. Major League Baseball going on around the area. The Chicago Cubs defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers 9-7 today. The Detroit Tigers beat the Oakland A's 5-4. The New York Mets winners over the Cincinnati Reds 3-2. Kansas City Royals beat the Chicago White Sox 2-1. And ongoing right now, the Milwaukee Brewers are taking on the Seattle Mariners. That is tied, headed to the bottom of the ninth. Other games, NAIA Baseball, Midway beat IUPUC today 7-4. Indiana Wesleyan swept a doubleheader with Mount Vernon of Nazarene, Ohio 3-0 and 6-5. IU Southeast goes to 22-12 on the year to beat Oakland City 11-4. IU South Bend and Trinity College split a doubleheader today 3-2. IU South Bend, Trinity 7-4. And IU Kokomo beat Brescia, Kentucky 4-3. Spring Arbor swept Grace. Huntington and Goshen split a doubleheader, and Taylor goes to 25-11, sweeping Bethel. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, the legendary Indiana Sports Talk. Before the scoreboard update, JMV was with us. If you're in the Indianapolis area, you've heard the Ride with JMV. It's a fixture on our flagship stations, The Fan in Indianapolis, and he is a fixture and a proud Indiana State University graduate, still suffering from the difficult loss last night to Seton Hall. We were talking about the circumstances, John, and this is the modern age of basketball and college basketball. I'm not sure anybody likes it. Players, I suppose, like it because they have their freedom, but that has consequences. And so we talked about it before the break. You have the greatest season you've had since Larry Bird, and your reward for that is you're going to have to get a new coach and literally an entirely brand new basketball team. And there's just something about that that doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. What it does, it continues to play to a very unbalanced field. And again, there are going to be some moments. I'll give you a great example. You watch what Tonzo Martin, Bob, ends up doing in the Mo Valley at Missouri State upon his return. He's been around to the Power Five without a great deal of success, but he's a great recruiter. The guy's going to get something going down there. They'll have a couple of years coming up here of good basketball, and he'll bounce out of there. It's just going to be like that. It may be like that with a lot of the power conferences, too, where you're going to have that one year where, and that's why I say live in the moment right now more than ever. You have to, because if you can't afford to look you know, 3-4 years down the road any longer like we used to, because these coaches have to go back. Even after a good season, you got to re-recruit your own people. That, to me, is nuts. Absolutely nuts. I mean, either you're happy playing basketball here, you aren't. And a couple of things stand to mind to me. One is, all right, if you're not happy, go someplace else. But basically what you're looking for is more money. And as that money escalates, you tell me how this business model has any chance of working, especially if every single year the same people, the same boosters are being asked to donate to NIL package and they're not seeing return on their investment. I'm assuming they have a lot of money because they're good business people, right? Is that good business if you don't get that return on investment? So this business, there's no way this model has sustainability. And in the process, Bob, it's going to run a lot of good fans. Maybe not us, because we love basketball. We're hardcore basketball fans. We'll watch it. But this will end up running a lot of people off because they're going to say, yeah, I'm not going to mess with this anymore. I just don't understand how this model is going to work.
I don't either, and I don't understand it for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is what you're talking about. But the example I would give you is, you know, you're in, let's say you're a successful business person in Terre Haute, you're a proud Indiana State alum, and the university comes to you and asks for a significant contribution to an academic program, a very necessary academic program, and you have just spent a significant amount of money aiding the athletic department on NIL, and these two are going to collide on campuses like Indiana State University and other similar types. You're being asked to make a decision. You can only give so much, and the priority should be the academic mission. Yet it's going to collide with the athletic mission because NIL is taking over college basketball, and it's I'm going where I'm getting paid. Let me underscore that again. Getting paid to be a college basketball player. Heretofore, you know, that may have been happening under the table. I got all that. But still, this is a system that's completely out of whack.
Yeah, and it's just a minor league now. I mean, you talked to me.
Yeah, it is now.
The academic portion of this does not even enter into the equation or the dynamic of our conversation here. Yeah, nobody's going to give a crap about that. So that's not going to matter any longer. And what you're going to have is you're going to have another feeder system to the higher levels. And this is going to be kind of a minor league. And this is my thought here, too. I love basketball.
John, I need to jump in here. I need you to hang on again, if you don't mind. Welcome back. JMV rejoins us talking about Indiana State. All right, so we expect everybody to leave, don't we? I mean, the players. And so you're Matthew Graves, obviously sitting here, has been an assistant with Josh since he got here. Matthew came from South Alabama where he was the head coach. Everyone knows his history. You know, star player at WRV, great career at Butler, part of that program during its glory years. And, you know, I'd say sentimental choice, quite frankly, if for one of a better candidate, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess the question is, because I'm assuming everybody over there has known for a while that Josh is going to end up leaving, if they've properly prepared or, you know, if they're going into this kind of a little bit blind. And, you know, we've talked about the situations they have right now. I do like Matt a great deal. I think Matt might be able to retain maybe a player, maybe two, in Terre Haute with their NIL package, I'm sure. I don't know what it might look like for everybody else. I just happen to think, Avila is going to bail. I always thought maybe he'd end up going to St. Louis with Josh when that happens. These are just my guesses, by the way, too. And, you know, the word is regarding Ryan Conwell out of Pike, who it was just fantastic. Now, he didn't shoot well last night at all, but he's been great this year.
No, but still.
He's the one guy. The one guy I think that's going to end up in a power conference with the team, and there's in state for example, in the state of Indiana, there is heavy interest in him if you were to head down State Road 46 between Terre Haute and Bloomington right there. And I'm not talking about Owen Valley High School. I'm talking about, yeah. So I think he's a power conference type of guy. But Matt May, if he would get the gig, maybe able to bring somebody back. But it is startling what this thing is going to look like once, you know, all these decisions are made. And I'm assuming we know all about this coming up at some point tomorrow, and then we'll start seeing exactly what these players have in mind. But more times than not, they end up leaving, and I think basically that's what you could expect here.
That's why they need their prominent alums such as you to pull out your checkbook and write a serious check.
Telling you, I could throw some parties over there. I kept the guys going back in the early 90s. Now, they didn't win any games. I think Kate Blanchard,
but you had fun.
no more going to his house the night before games, please, because I think they played awful. The next day, I think they blamed that on me. But, no, seriously, I had such an enjoyment. And it, you could see, Bob, you could see the alumni, the fan base merging as one.
Right.
And my fear is you're going to have a lot of things that will tear that down, eat away at that, and then, you know, kind of splinter it again. And I certainly don't want to see that, because I thought this year, in terms of coming together, was as good as you could ask for.
Right. JMV, listen to him in Indianapolis on the drive every afternoon. John, thanks for doing this. Have a great weekend.
Anytime, buddy. You know that. See you, Bob.
Thanks. Coming up, top of the hour scoreboard update with